So, if Kripacharya was a part of the whole arrangement to kill Draupadi's sons, how could they appoint Kripacharya as their next kingdom? Yeah, there are 3 points in this. First is that Kripacharya initially very strongly opposed. When Ashwatthama proposed that idea, there were three people were there. Ashwatthama was there, Kripacharya and Kritavarman were there. So the Mahabharata describes initially Kripacharya felt that this, he told him, this cannot even be contemplated, it's so heinous. He said that, let us go in the morning, we'll fight and we'll meet a hero's death. We'll meet a hero's death. So at that time he fervently tries to persuade Ashwatthama, but Ashwatthama says no. Ashwatthama says that no, they killed my father when he was also in meditation. So when he was unarmed, when he was unprepared and unresisting, they killed him. So they deserve to be killed like that only. Now, actually speaking, it was not the Pandavas who had killed. It was only Dhrishtadyumna who did that. And while Dhrishtadyumna was running towards Drona to kill him, the Pandavas shouted, "Stop!" They're not. Arjuna was actually furious with him, especially. So he ascribed to the Pandava something which had been done by, not by them, but someone against their will. But then when Ashwatthama started going over there, so Krutavarman, so Kripacharya, he, one ethos which is there in the Mahabharata is, you could say, deference to authority. Whether that is always right or wrong, that is something which Mahabharata leaves open. Yudhishthira gambles because Dhritarashtra asks him to gamble, and he feels Dhritarashtra is like my father figure. So here also, Ashwatthama, although is much younger to Kritavarman, but just before dying, before Duryodhana had appointed Ashwatthama as the commander. So Kripacharya felt that it is his duty to assist, and it is his duty to obey. So that if that was Ashwatthama's decision, then we have to obey it. And he actually did not directly participate in the killing of the Pandavas' children or in the other warriors. But what he did was, if anybody tried to flee from there, he guarded Ashwatthama from. Basically, what happened? Anybody was trying to flee, he attacked them, and either he killed them or they went back inside and then they were killed by Ashwatthama. So definitely he was complicit in it, no doubt about it. But there is also the description in the Mahabharata that when Ashwatthama was going alone, he went ahead. So at that time he saw a fierce looking personality come. The look was looking extremely angry and furious, and that person had a very powerful sword in his hand. And he saw, who is this? He thought, maybe this is some devta or some god who has come angry with me for my plan of killing, for my heinous plan. I tried to attack. I tried to attack, 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 and all those short arrows, the arrow just went into the body and disappeared. And then eventually all his weapons went off. And then that personality said that, "I am Kala." Different names I ascribed to him. I'm time, or he said that I'm Rudra, Shiva.
Shiva.
Shiva as a destroyer, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But he said that the time of these warriors has ended now, and they are meant to die, and you, Ashwatthama, are meant to kill, and I have come to give you this sword. So he gave that sword, and it was that sword which he used to cut off the heads of the Pandavas' children. And then it was like a surge of power came to him at that time. And then after that, after he killed the Pandavas' soldiers and warriors, then that power just went off. He just couldn't do anything. So and then eventually he was punished for that. So basically, there was that understanding also that they were all meant to die. Now this does not again excuse Ashwatthama, because their death could have happened in any way. It is like when we have a particular desire to do something, then the higher powers may use us and our desire to execute their plan. But we are responsible because we had the desire. So even if those warriors had to die, their death could have been arranged by some other way. So it was seen as a higher plan, and that's why Krupacharya was not an evil person. But at that time, circumstantially, he just acted in a, he was a part of a scheme that was evil. And we also see this principle, his last point is that, that was just a one-off incident. Otherwise, he was always very kind and graceful. And even after that, he served them faithfully. So his royalties were to the Kuru dynasty. And if the Kauravas were ruling, he was loyal to the Kauravas. But when the Pandavas were ruling, he was loyal to the Pandavas also. He was loyal to the Pandavas, not royal, loyal to the Pandavas. So in that sense, because that was just a one-off terrible thing which he did, that was not held against him. In general, the third point is that the Brahmanas are not punished. Ashwatthama did a very un-Brahminical activity, and that's why he was punished.
This is not considered a Brahmin anymore.
Yeah, because the activity, he himself personally killing was not a totally un-Brahminical activity. But Kripacharya was much older to all of them, and he was a wise Brahmana, and all their elders had already been killed. So, and there was no idea where Vidura was, whether Vidura was going to come back. And Dhritarashtra was not going to be in a position to be an elder of any guidance. So they felt the need to have some elder with them. And since Krupacharya was extremely remorseful. And the Kauravas, Duryodhana never showed any remorse. So the Krupacharya was very remorseful. So because of all that, they felt that his presence would be beneficial for them. And that's why they incorporated him in their government afterwards.
Also,